Hi, everyone. This is Erica Spicer-Mason with Becker's Healthcare. Thank you for tuning into the Becker's Healthcare podcast series. We're thrilled to be joined today by Matt Brown, the Vice President of Telehealth at CHG Healthcare, who will talk to us a bit about virtual care and what's on the horizon. Matt, welcome to the podcast. Thank you again for joining us.
Thanks, Erica. Glad to be here.
We're thrilled to have you. And just for our listeners, before we start diving into the discussion, would you mind sharing just a little bit more about yourself, your role, your background, whatever feels pertinent?
Sure. So my role here at CHG Healthcare is to oversee all of our virtual care and telehealth strategies that we're implementing with our clients and with our providers. Previous to this, I had spent time in the technology world, mainly working on mobile apps and infrastructure, which was kind of a nice parlay into some of the things we were doing in telehealth. And then prior to that, I spent about 8 years at Optum and United Health Group.
Great. I appreciate you sharing a little bit more about your background and, overseeing virtual health and telehealth strategies. I'm sure you have your work cut out for you right now. We're definitely seeing that telehealth and virtual care have truly become pillars in health system strategies to improve care and, of course, operations too. So from your perspective, how would you describe the current state of these care modalities? And what are the most notable developments that you've seen in the last year?
Sure. I think one of the most interesting things that we've seen around telehealth and virtual care this year is that it really has started to move very specifically into a lot of the subspecialties. I think prior and coming out of the pandemic, a lot of consumers and providers thought about telehealth more as kind of an urgent care setting, right? My kid has the sniffles, or I need some immediate care, so I'm going to dial up an Amwell or a Teladoc, some quick response. And coming out of the pandemic, the use cases have just exploded. So I think one of the most interesting things for us is to see it really start to become a critical part of almost every specialty that we work in. So at CHG Healthcare, we support a broad specialty mix of providers that are working in these different virtual settings. And I was kind of surprised to see that actually our top five settings included oncology, cardiology, and maternal fetal medicine, which is kind of surprising. So that's one thing that I think is really might surprise people is how deep it's starting to integrate into multiple specialty sets where we really didn't think there was a use case for telehealth in the past. The other thing that I would say, I mentioned earlier, I'm just coming off of the HIMSS conference. And of course, in all of the innovation and conferences this year, everyone's talking about artificial intelligence. So one of the more interesting pieces that is happening is you're starting to see artificial intelligence overlay with a lot of unique either ambient listening or new technologies to then facilitate and accelerate telehealth. So it's becoming virtual care is kind of becoming this, a really clean way that our customers and the health systems are starting to automate and to leverage AI to get to the right. To the right provider.
Yeah, thanks so much, Matt, for the overview. It's fascinating to think about how much has changed in just a few short years since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, and how, I do appreciate you sharing that the top five settings include oncology, cardiology, maternal fetal medicine for telehealth services. It's really interesting, specialties that we normally associate with very hands-on care. The way technology is advancing, it can really accommodate a lot more.
The use cases, especially the other piece I think that's extending some of those use cases is that we're seeing it in a lot of these new emerging technology marketplaces. So when you think about a medical home or a hospital at home model, and you start to think about some of the remote patient monitoring and, all these new use cases that are really pushing a hospital into more remote settings, are being propped up and supported by virtual care. So I think it's the explosion of like different use cases and specialty, and then just this explosion in new technologies and innovations that are happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk a little bit too about outcomes, and how virtual care can really help to address some of the most pressing challenges that we're continuing to see in healthcare, even, well after the public health emergency is over. Can you share any examples of areas of care that virtual care is kind of enhancing or improving, and any partner case studies or tangible results that come to mind would be really helpful if you could highlight those as well.
Yeah, I see two that come to mind. Is one is we have a client who is very much focused on population health management. And, you know, traditional population health management, it's typically difficult to get to Medicaid populations and to some of these Medicare populations. And what they've done is they've implemented a telehealth first strategy so that they can address some of these underserved and lower income populations that they're supporting. And by doing that, they've actually been able to move engagement rates, but also some of their assessment scores from somewhere around 15% engagement up to close to 45% engagement, which if you know you follow some of the models around value-based care, that's a pretty big movement upwards. They were able to do that just by implementing a holistic telehealth strategy, which then actually by default increased the star ratings for the plans that they were supporting. So we're starting to see just the quality outcomes that are really driven by HEDIS scores or star measures on the other side of the fence, that telehealth is really driving a lot of that patient engagement satisfaction. And, you know, they're tying it back to follow-up visits, to getting them to the right specialist, et cetera. So I think we're in a new wave of like really tracking outcomes there. The other piece that I think is very interesting is on the virtual nurse side. So we've actually seen really good outcomes that are tied to virtual nurses' ability to manage the floor and implement some of their rounding capabilities. I just saw a study and a presentation by New York Presbyterian where they reduced the burnout as well as the turnover for their entire nurse staff using virtual care from somewhere like 32% down to 12% when they were engaged in a virtual care program. So I think we think quality outcomes that happen on the patient side, but there's also these really great outcomes that are happening in terms of the employee base that's leveraging virtual care as well.
Definitely. And I think that really speaks to a comment that you made earlier about kind of the breadth of the use cases that are coming up for telehealth. So appreciate you sharing those examples. And wow, that 45% engagement rate, I know that is certainly an impressive metric. So again, thanks for sharing those results. I think it's really helpful for our listeners to hear. So kind of looking at the future of where this is all going, health systems are coming together today to push lawmakers to extend some of those virtual care flexibilities for telehealth that we saw largely driven from the COVID-19 pandemic. And then of course, you know, there were rules about reimbursement surrounding that. So in your view, how can leaders support those priorities, and why do you think it's important that they advocate for, you know, these extensions? What should leaders also keep in mind here about the future of telehealth more broadly?
Yeah, great question. I think that there's, as you mentioned, there's some key legislation that's happening right now, like one that's going to extend our ability to reimburse at full amounts back to CMS. If that happens, obviously that we will see a continuation, which everyone expects it fully to happen. We'll see a continuation of kind of standard practices around virtual care. What it also means is that people will lean more heavily into this as a long-term strategy. It's not going away. I think that when there is some outstanding legislation, then a lot of our clients are a little nervous on how much they want to bet on some of this technology, right? So I think that everyone's watching those reimbursements and the extension that's happening through CMS. Everyone also expects that to fully happen. The other piece that I think is tied back to the outcomes question is as we get better data and we're starting to see kind of better performance in these models, and we start to tie it back to, like we talked about, some of the staffing shortages or some of the retention, we're just going to see more and more use cases that emerge around telehealth programs in general. And so as we start tracking outcomes, we start to see some of the, you know, the performance-based care take place in telehealth. I think that will also kind of buoy the case for extending a lot of these reimbursement measures. So I think one of the things that we could do is just continue to look at our programs with very specific KPIs and tie those KPIs back to the value of the program and think, get creative about the program, right? If reimbursement rates are slightly lower, then we should start looking at actually how many patients were able to access the program outside of the reimbursement rate. We should look at how our clinicians are potentially not retiring out of the workforce, or they're, you know, alleviating some of their burnout by being able to do this. So I think you're going to start to see a few more of those other levers that we pull that will drive some of this legislation through, as long as the outcomes continue to be really good in the telehealth space.
Fantastic. It brings to mind that phrase, what gets measured gets managed. I think I said that right, but really good advice. Thank you so much, Matt. Really appreciate all of the insights today, and sounds like there's a bright outlook for telehealth in the future. But before we close, is there anything else that you wanted to share with the audience? Any final thoughts?
No, I would just say that we are in the very beginnings of telehealth. It's funny. It's been around for a long time, right? Telehealth is nothing. It's not necessarily new, but we like to say that it's actually just newly relevant. So I think the use cases will continue to expand. We're really looking strategically on how this is going to be integrated. And the other piece that I would leave the audience with is, you know, if we think I was working in mobile, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, when iOS had just come to market, Android was an operating system, BlackBerry's in the marketplace, and we were all kind of getting used to using our mobile devices to be able to manage our banks or to, you know, look at travel. And I remember at the time I was meeting with one of the CIOs of a major payer, and he made a comment. He said, "Hey, do you really think that people will manage their healthcare through a mobile app or through, you know, through a text message?" And, you know, it kind of caught me off guard. I said, "Yeah, I think that's the future. We're all going towards this omni-channel experience in healthcare." And I think now when we look at it, we're there. We're in this omni-channel experience where we're all flowing between an in-person visit, a brick and mortar, a virtual care visit. And I think this is just going to continue to become a normal part of how we engage with our providers and with our health systems, just like we do in other industries. We're a little bit slower to catch up, but we've been doing it this way with a lot of our other products and consumable products for years. We're just kind of playing catch up on the healthcare front. So I'm excited for the future of this. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that are really trying to make sure that we pull this off really effectively with the right outcomes, with the right strategy. So I'm optimistic.
Oh, absolutely. And your excitement and passion for this topic comes through, Matt. So again, I appreciate you sharing all of your wisdom and experience with the audience today. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Katie.
I'd also like to thank our podcast sponsor today, CHG Healthcare. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.